football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Welcome to the CBFA podcast, week four, 2024. This is James with my co-host Cole. How you doing, Cole?
Not too bad. You know, middle of the week, can't complain. Halfway to football.
Yeah, it seems like forever since we recorded a podcast. We're recording the last one on a Saturday. This one's a Wednesday, so long break in between. But there's always CBFA action on Saturday. So looking back at week four's action, I actually did manage to run into Grant Pollock to get a rundown of the first two games. So we'll save those for the end. We can kick it off with Chiefs Stamps, if you like.
Chief Stamford's what you did.
Okay, then I'll start.
that was your one game.
That's right. And it was a bit of a long game. Yeah, it took a while. Probably more in our heads than anything, because it was in runtime right from the second half. Yeah, it was The Stamps ran away with it, literally and figuratively. So in the end, they came away with a 71-6 victory. But in that game, the Chiefs managed their first points of the season. So what we saw was a pretty good play by a scrappy team against a really, really tough opponent.
Yeah.
But
at what point in time did that one touchdown come from the Chiefs?
If memory serves, and you know, this was half a week ago, I believe it was late in the first half or early in the second half.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was mercifully short, but it felt like it took a long time to play. Probably just because the score got out of hand quickly, and we were all cheering for that clock to run out on that one.
Yeah.
So
over on. In Canada, we had an earlier game, which our website still says expired, but it's over in Canada. Actually, I'm logging into our website right now. We have two Heller games at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Well, that's because things got moved around with the Eagles being one of the top three teams for the Bantam Takeover. They got their game moved forward.
That's right.
And despite the scoreline in that one being 40-6 in favor of the Eagles, it didn't feel like it was that lopsided of a game. The Rebels, despite getting torched in the score, they were moving the ball pretty well, from what I can remember over the weekend. The run game wasn't actually that bad. They were splitting. They didn't have a set quarterback for the majority of the time. They were splitting the ball carrying duties between three running backs, then just direct snap it back to one of them, who would then proceed to hand it off to one of the other ones or just take it themselves. But I didn't feel like they had that bad of a performance despite the Eagles really running away with it. Like, I didn't feel like the Eagles had that overpowering of a game.
Right.
Like, I don't know, I really can't, I feel like I can't take away anything from the Eagles in that game, positively or negatively. Because like they just kind of were there and they just kind of scored, but it's like the rebels were fighting throughout, trying to, claw forward with yards and downs and stuff, and it's like,
Yeah.
oh, the score is what it is. This is weird.
The image I get in my head is of the big brother holding the little brother at a stiff arm and the little brother swinging wildly.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. But it wasn't a bad week for the Rebels. Like they have, like they can take a lot of positives away, and that's back to back. Well, back to back games because they had a bye week last week. That they could last week 23 that they can take positives from because they had good plays, good momentum, good drives against the Cowboys again and again against the Eagles. In week four, so it's like they have a lot that they can build on and progress toward the later stages of the season.
Yeah, something to build on. And in the final game of the afternoon.
Final game of the afternoon, Cowboys and Mavericks. That game was originally supposed to be at 1 o'clock, but got pushed back at 1:30 because that was the game that got moved for the Eagles game. Honestly, I don't recall too much from it because I was busy taking photos from the game, and apparently, when I take photos, I have absolutely no memory of what happens on the field. But yeah, the Cowboys end up winning that one 22-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it wasn't a bad game necessarily. I just unfortunately don't really recall much from it, because like it wasn't not much really happened. I mean, there was a
Right.
couple of long runs, but
Yeah.
I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot.
It was a pretty pretty dominating performance by the Cowboys. The Mavericks are one of those weaker sisters. So that's just the way that one went. The Cowboys were stronger, and the Mavericks did all right to stay in the game and keep it somewhat close. But I think if they hadn't forced a number of turnovers, it might have been a lot more lopsided.
Well, the other thing, do the Cowboys need to be concerned? Because
Well,
last week, the Lions put up 53 against the Mavericks. And the Lions aren't having a great season this year. They, of course, had their bye week this week, so hopefully they're tinkering some stuff up and can, get a better record throughout the rest of the season. But it's, do the Cowboys need to start? Yes, they're 2-1, but do they start? Or sorry, they're 2-2, but do they start need to hit the panic button a little bit?
right. Well,
Because they don't seem to. They're not in the top form like they once were.
no, and I think I was saying last week that they might be in danger of being Div 3, but I still think they're gonna prove me wrong eventually. I mean, I'm waffling on this one. I think they'll probably end up getting into low Div
I think,
2.
yeah, I think they'll comfortably finish in Div 2. The issue is, I don't know if that top four, with how strong some of the teams are ahead of them, if that's going to be attainable.
Yeah, well, we're almost at the halfway point. And yeah, so in the earlier games, Grant Pollock was up in the booth calling them, and I was able to talk with him briefly. So here is that conversation. Oh, good afternoon. We're here from
Choleis Park in Calgary. This is James. I'm talking with Grant Pollock here. Grant, you were here for the morning games here in week four. Why don't you give us a recap?
Well, the first game this morning, the Raiders and the Colts, both undefeated before this game today. What an outstanding game, back and forth. The Raiders coming with that big offense that has scored almost 200 points in three games. I think it's 189. And then the Colts defense, which has been very stingy. And the Colts win, I won't say handedly, but pretty good. Colts came out on top, played a really strong game, a strong running game, and just some great defense. And the Raiders never seemed to really look strong in the game like we've seen before. So the Colts are now one of, as I speak, only one of two undefeated teams. I think it's the Stampeders and them, as the Raiders suffer their first loss.
Incredible. We were not expecting that result. That was quite a game.
It was a good game. The Colts look so strong. It's the best I've seen them in a number of years. They have a strong offense and defensive line. I'll pick out one player for sure. He's the coach's son. Chris Truscott is the coach of the Colts, the head coach. And his son, Bishop Truscott, number 77. He just turned 14 not too long ago. 6'4.5 inches, 280 pounds. And he is not just a big, slow guy. He comes from a basketball background as well. So he has agility as a player. He plays both ways, mostly on offense, because he's just a great blocker. And Chase Barr is usually beside him on that offensive line. And those two are so skilled at protecting the quarterback and opening up the holes for the running game. Impressive, and I think that's a Colts strength, is their offense and defensive line for pass protection and opening up the big holes.
Absolutely. The success in football always starts with the play on the line. You win in the trenches and you can win the game most of the time.
And when you've got good, strong, I mean, big doesn't always mean better, but when they're agile, and as I said, his dad Chris, the head coach, said basketball has really helped my son become more agile, more agility, and he can move around and do different things. So that's one player to watch if you ever see the Colts. So I think from right now, they're the best team I've seen so far this season after, four games for some teams?
That's right. So we're approaching the halfway mark. Yeah. The Colts look like they're strong contenders. We saw another strong contender here in the second game with the Wildcats taking on the Bulldogs.
The Wildcats don't, they don't look like it. Well, they're not a big team, so they don't seem to really be impressive from the start, but they're so technically sound. They've got a quarterback that likes to throw those little short swing passes. They've got two gifted receivers who can catch well and make something happened. They call them yards after the catch. So even though the Wildcats don't awe you with their size, they're technically sound. And I think that really impressed me today with the Wildcats, that they did that, scored a lot of touchdowns through the air in the first half especially. But they have what's her name, Oakland Wingert. She's number 50. I think she's in her second year. I saw her play nine football 3 years ago, and she was a semi-starter last year, but she's a starter, and she is good. Again, not real big, but technically sound. They don't get by her very often. She opens the holes. And then on defense for the Wildcats is Brielle McDonald-Ropchan, and she was the player of the game for them. Excuse me, James. I got a frog in my throat waiting for that pizza that I always get after the game in my trailer. And so anyways, two girls who played great games. They weren't in there just because they were girls. They wanted to make them feel good. They deserve it. They look good. And they really did help the Wildcats beat the Bulldogs. Ooh. Was that that?
No, I think that was somebody else.
Might have been below us. Okay, I don't know if you heard that explosion. So James and I... How's your heart? You okay?
I'm still awake.
You're still talking. I'm still talking. Whoa, baby. I want to talk about the Bulldogs. I talked about the Wildcats. The Bulldogs, not bad. So their quarterback has been dinged, so they put Sam Willey, number 34, good, strong running back. He was at quarterback today, was carrying the ball himself, was really successful, really looking good. Then he got hurt. You took their best play, the Bulldogs' best player came out of the game, and that really hurt the Bulldogs. But the player of the game for the Bulldogs today in their loss to the Wildcats was Jonathan Kettle, number 27, a second-year player. Plays DB, but sometimes safety, run back, kicks and punts. He does the kicking for them. I think he ran a punt and a kickoff for touchdowns. One was called back, if I recall, but he was an outstanding player today. So the Bulldogs just getting too many injuries today, not enough guys to fill in. The Wildcats just played a strong, technically sound game, clean on offense, few penalties, and looked pretty good. I think their record now goes to 2-1.
Yeah, they're only after game three, after having a bye.
They had a bye.
So they'll be approaching their halfway point in the season after week five.
They've got a two duo. So their quarterback is Reinson, and then he throws to Holt McKenzie, number 25, or number 20, and his name escapes me right now, but I'll think about it. I'll think of it. Outstanding players. I mean, they caught the ball in traffic and were able to turn it up and get some yards after. So 25, McKenzie, and number 20. Boy, I said his name a few times today, too, and it just escapes me. Were really, really good. Really good. And they scored a number of their touchdowns.
So there you have it. We had a couple of good games here this morning in week four. Yeah. And the Colts and the Wildcats come out victorious. Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, James. Always a pleasure.
Okay. So there you have it.
No, it was a... Yeah, no, Grant was right. It was a good week in the morning. The Colts-Raiders game was really good. I don't think it's how we expected it to go.
No.
But I think we were expecting it to be a bit closer than what it was. But yeah, no, it's definitely the Colts and Stan Peters pulling away at the top there a little bit.
Right. Something about the horsepower.
Well, speaking of horsepower in a way, one we don't usually see very one that we don't see happen very often. It happened in the Bulldogs Wildcats game. It was actually the Bulldogs only touchdown. It came right after the Wildcats scored a touchdown. It was off of a kickoff return. So the first weird thing that happened in this, because we hardly ever see it, the kickoff went over the returner's head and landed on the goal line. Like, we usually don't get kickoffs, they go anywhere near that far.
Yeah.
And then the returner managed to pick it up. I happened to be on the sideline right about where he was about to get two blocks. I was like, I'm just thinking mentally, it's like, if he gets these two blocks, he's gone. Perfect blocks, right in the numbers, no hold, no nothing. Returner finds that gap, gone up the sideline.
Nice.
110-yard kickoff return touchdown.
Wow. Awesome.
You couldn't full have length of the field. Better. Yeah. For their only score of the week, too.
Yeah. So, in case we didn't get to that, the score in the Colts Raiders game was 28-6 for the Colts. And in the Wildcats Bulldogs game, it was 40-6 for the Wildcats. And so.
James, I don't know if you noticed, well, there's something that we noticed in the trailer from all the scores this week.
All the losing game, scores was a six.
All the losers had 6 points.
That's right.
I haven't done my research, but I don't know when the last time we had no shutouts in a week was either.
Right? No shutouts was what that stood out to me, other than all those sixes.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that. Remember to look into that this weekend, and I'll look into that for next week's podcast.
All right. Now, looking ahead to week five, we start the morning off. Start the morning off with
A
the
half hour
Eagles and
later
the
than this week.
Cowboys.
We're back to our regular 8:30 start time, not an 8 o'clock start time.
That's right. So 8:30 on Saturday morning, the 21st of September. Eagles and Cowboys, and that's followed by at 11 a.m. the Lions taking on the Colts.
Not a pair of bad morning games. I think probably the 8:30 one probably a little bit better. Again, tougher test for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that is a
I think
stout
really and truly,
defense.
and the Eagles are, despite their loss to the Raiders 2 weeks ago, like the Raiders are rolling, or sorry, the Eagles are rolling.
Yep. Yeah, they were toying with their opponents last week, the Rebels. Let's see
That should be a good one.
if the Cowboys give more of a test than the Rebels did. And I'm hoping the Lions can keep it close. That is a really strong Colts team on all three aspects, all three phases.
Well, and the Lions do have the advantage of they did have a bye week. So they're going to be a little bit more rested.
Yeah, and
Whether or not that's actually going to come to hand or not, we will have to wait and see.
well, we hope that they've done their homework and they're prepared. So at least we'll get a good game, I'm sure. Entertaining. And in the afternoon,
Then
a pair of 1:30 games.
Chiefs Rebels and Raiders Wildcats. Again, actually not bad weeks. No, not bad games.
I think those are close matchups that are kind of at the opposite ends of the scale.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs Rebels one's going to be important because it's going to be, in my opinion, it'll be a fight for Div 2 playoff spot. Again, we're getting a little ahead of
A little
myself
ahead. Well,
going for playoff spots, but
at the halfway point, we don't have all that far to look ahead now,
we're already there, yeah.
right?
So yeah, that's a good potential playoff implication game.
Yeah.
And then Raiders Wildcats, that's your heavyweight battle of the week. Both those teams looking to improve off of their 2-1, 3-1 records.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be a very important one.
Yeah, the Raiders are not gonna wanna suffer two losses in a row. They're probably gonna come out scrappy. And well, I think those Wildcats are technically a good enough team that they should be able to match up well against them. It's going to be a great game. I'm probably going to
We need to
be.
talk to whoever does the schedule. Yeah. Always put the
Right?
scrappy games over on Canada.
Yeah. Amazing how that works.
Every time.
And the final game of the afternoon is the Bulldogs taking on the Mavericks.
I think for those two teams, it's also going to be a very, very important game
Yeah,
because
for
both of those teams are in the hunt for that lower Div 2 seed right now.
that's right.
So I expect that one to also be a hard-fought game by both of those teams.
Yeah, should be fun to watch.
Like, I
Better
think we
be
actually have
shoulder
a
ice on
pretty good week for
Saturday.
games this week. It should be a pretty good week for games on this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have any other news? I don't have anything on. I know
we have,
as far as the website goes, we're working on getting the table, the standings as a 1 through 11 rather than through
we need both
the division. Yeah, we do. I've reached the limits of the Ramp website and its abilities to provide that sort of thing. So we're going to have to come up with something outside of that and post it on our social media. So keep an eye out for.
I was gonna say, do not look at my social media posts.
A standings post. And then we'll post it on the website too. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, because on Saturday I posted the updated standings. It was the first time we've posted standings on socials this year. We wanted to wait a little bit to get into the season. There's no point in posting one-on-one results type thing. Yeah. But it does actually have the league standings on there. They're obviously going to be more accurate as the season goes on, and of course for the last week of playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know how accurate. It's fairly accurate for the league standings at the moment. James will correct me if I'm wrong. If he looks at it.
Oh, have a quick boo.
So that's on our Instagram page.
I don't have that handy on my PC.
That way. Yeah.
I've got the one.
The other thing which I posted on our social medias again this morning is, and some fans may have noticed because it's also in our story at the moment, Gordy's 6th annual food drive, Saturday, October 12th. That is 4 weeks away. Yeah, 4 weeks, 4 weekends from now. So that's happening in week 8. Of course, all everyone's in, expected to bring some non-perishable food items, which go to the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary, Canada.
That's right.
And yeah, I actually managed to find some photos from a few years ago in COVID times when we did it.
Nice.
That we've been able to use for our new social media posts. I was wondering about that, so we're doing that. We got reminders up on social media for that. Of course, 50-50 ticket draw number 2 happens this weekend.
That's right.
It's looking like it's going to be a bit of a smaller pot than the first one, but having one fewer week doesn't really help with that. But of course, that all goes to our selects program.
Yep.
Did you injure yourself in the podcast?
I did. Yeah. I managed to make myself bleed. It was a prior injury and I scratched it.
James is putting his blood, sweat, and tears quite literally into this podcast this week, folks.
I think I'll live.
I think that's really it for league-wise news. It's just the Bros Food Drive, obviously, the first 2 weeks of October. We have our breast cancer games.
Yeah, Pink Sox. They're so coming.
Weeks out. Yeah, Pink Sox weeks are always fun.
Absolutely. All right.
I still have mine from what I played.
And on that note, we will call it for this week. So thanks again for joining us. And get down to Shoal Ice Park on Saturday if you can. We'll be right back. The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Finally, remember to bring water and snacks to Shoal Ice Park on game day. We look forward to the return of Superfan Snacks. For now, they remain closed. Thanks for listening.